The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. It's the show that answers the question,
is it possible to make a vowel sound out of a potato?
Can the word potato be a verb?
What about an actual potato? Can that be a verb?
What about the word verb? Can the word verb be a verb? Can it be a potato?
Mama, I'm scaring myself.
And now your host, Eric Metaxas.
Folks, welcome to the show. Oh my gosh. Albin, Chris, this is one of those days. Today is Tuesday, January the 5th. So
today's Tuesday.
It couldn't be bigger than today. Today is the day that, in some ways, the fate of nation is decided. Not an exaggeration, unfortunately. Last night, Trump had a rally in Georgia for Kelly Loeffler and I always forget the name of the other guy, Senator
Perdue,
obviously. Thank you. Okay, so we're going to be talking to Doug Mastriano in hour one. We recorded that yesterday, so we're not going to be talking about the news of the day. I mean, we're not going to be talking. We are going to be talking about the news of the day, but we have John Zmirak in hour two. And with John, we're going to talk to him about everything, including the news of the day. We have to mention our grand prize winners. As most of you know, we have been raising money to free slaves in the Sudan. I say it every time. I cannot believe that people are genuinely enslaved in 2021. Now it is. That's about as bad news as there can be, that human beings are being enslaved and are enslaved. But the good news is that we can do something about it. By the grace of God, he's blessed this country and many of us outside of this country as well with spare change, with wealth, with freedom. And we can do something to help the people that are suffering. So CSI said they'd like to continue the campaign with us for another 10 days. So till January 15th to free the folks in Sudan who've been enslaved by radical Muslims who believe that slavery is fine. They're wrong, but we can do something about it. You can do something about it. If there's some friend or relative whom you have not bought a gift yet, a holiday gift, whatever holiday you want, St. Patrick's Day, for example, this is one of these crazy things where you think, hey, I'm going to show these people what I care about. I'm going to give $50, $100, or $250 would free a slave. That's the amount that CSI asks. Very powerful if you do that, if you want to show somebody what you believe in, what you care about. So you have to go to our website, which is metaxastalk.com. If you go there, you can give. If you give any amount, you will be enrolled in our grand prize drawing. That's the new grand prize drawing, because in the last month we had a grand prize drawing, and we're not just going to fold this into that. No. We have picked three grand prize winners. We chose to do that, not just one grand prize, three grand prize winners. We want to bless you, and we're going to announce your names today. Now, if you're not listening, there's a good chance you won't be able to hear what I'm saying. So if you're not listening, be sure to tune in and listen. Okay, you're tuning in? Good.
Yep.
All right, Albin, I think you've got the names.
Yeah, by the way, I was unwell yesterday, right?
And I was going to bring that up eventually. You were really sick.
I was really, really sick, but I went to see my doctor and I got well right away, Dr. Jill Biden, and she took care of me. So I'm
Dr. Jill Biden took care of you?
Yeah.
Did you have like a rash? What was it?
No. I had like a 24-hour flu bug, like something normal that you usually would get before COVID. I had a flu, just a 24-hour flu bug. I'm better now. Thank you.
You're better now, but I can see that the treatment caused you to lose your hair. But you know, yes, it'll grow back.
Yes,
it'll grow
back. And now, can I announce the winners
in the coming kingdom? Okay, go ahead.
We have three grand prize winners, and then on the like at the end of the middle of the month, we're going to announce the new three grand prize winners.
Okay, so if you give today, or in this next week, you are going to get put into this new grand prize. But last month, we raised a good amount of money. We said we're going to draw three grand prizes, and the winners are.
And the winners are Elizabeth James from Sherman Oaks, California.
That's Wait a minute. Elizabeth James, did you hear your name from Sherman Oaks, California? That's the Reagan Library neck of the woods, I believe. And I've spoken there. Beautiful area. Elizabeth James, come on down. We're going to get your address. We're going to mail you so much swag, so many signed books. You're going to weep. Okay, Albin, who else?
Okay, you're going to love this next one. Bruce Reed from Queens, New York.
Okay. Now, wait a minute. You're playing with my head. A Queens, New York.
Yes.
Like literally where I grew up. Somebody from Queens named Bruce Reed gave money to CSI and won the grand prize. Bruce, what can I say except thank you? I don't believe it. This is like amazing. Queens.
Okay.
I was born in Astoria. I grew up in Jackson Heights. I'm actually thrilled that's the case. So we have Elizabeth James from Sherman Oaks, California. We got Bruce Reed from Queens, New York. And then we got the third winner is?
Stephen Puttrich from Twinsburg. Yeah, now this one I like.
Stephen. Say it again.
Puttrich, that's Puttrich from Twinsburg, Ohio. And I'm a twin. And there's a Twinsburg, Ohio. And he's from Twinsburg.
Stephen Puttrich.
Yeah.
From Twinsburg, Ohio.
Yes.
This is so great. So Stephen Puttrich, Bruce Reed, Elizabeth James, you three won each the grand prize. And we're not going to make you split it. No. We're going to send each of you a grand prize. You're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be carrying around so much, you know, awesome property swag that you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to want to give it away because you're going to say, I know I don't deserve this.
I'm embarrassed for them.
I'm embarrassed. I'm blushing inside. It's terrible. The amount that we're going to send them. Okay. So if you want to be entered in the grand prize drawing for the next one, you have to give any time between January 1st, which was a couple of days ago, and January 15th. This is such a good cause, folks, that I do want to say, sometimes when things are hard and things are really hard right now for a lot of people on many, many levels, obviously what we're going through with this this election fraud, which is going to come out this week, this is ugly. Does it get uglier than somebody trying to steal a presidential election? I don't think so. And I have to say, Albin and Chris, you probably both know this. There are plenty of people completely convinced that we're out of our minds to think this. Chuck Todd, I think yesterday on CNN, which is still broadcasting in some cities, was mocking Senator, is it Hansen or Johnson?
Ron Johnson.
He was mocking him and saying like, oh, should we have investigations into the moon landing? Did that really happen? Maybe we should have investigations. You know, he was mocking it. And I thought to myself, look, you're supposed to be a journalist, Chuck Todd. The least you can do is be aware of the basic facts. The basic facts indicate that there was huge irregularities, not, you know, some so that people can complain, vast irregularities. You hear it over and over and over again, and in so many different forms that it boggles the mind. And yet doesn't seem to faze them. When this stuff comes out, which I believe by God's grace it will this week, starting tomorrow, they're going to lose their heads over this because they have insisted on looking away, and the monster is going to be all the scarier when this stuff comes out. And I continue to ask people, pray for this nation, get together with your friends, hold hands, pray for America, that justice and truth would prevail Could anybody disagree with that? Whatever the truth is, whatever the justice is, pray that God's truth and justice prevail. Okay, when we come back, we're talking to Doug Mastroianno. He has a heavy Italian accent, but we try to understand. He's from Pennsylvania. He's an American hero. I love this man. We put it up on YouTube already. In hour two, we got John Smirak. Don't go away. Hey there, folks. Welcome to the Eric Metaxas Show. Hey, guess what? I have someone that I think you are going to be grateful I have on. His name is State Senator Colonel Doug Mastroianno. Welcome back, Doug, if I may call you Doug.
You can call me whatever you want, brother. It was great to see you in D.C. last month, and what a crazy month it's been since, huh?
I have to tell you, I don't know where to begin. When I had you on the program the last time, you get a phone call from the President of the United States, and I know it was not a hoax. I was not being punked. It really was the president. And you gave me the one of the joys of my life to have him on this program and share him with my listeners briefly, which was extraordinary. You have been one of the most active Americans in trying to uncover the malfeasance we've seen in this election. You have led the way in Pennsylvania. You were on the prayer call with us just last night praying about this. We're going through some hard times, and many people, Douglas, simply don't believe there's anything to see. But you and I can't believe that because we've seen too much. So what do you say to people who are not tuned in enough to think that we are anything but crazy ideologues?
I mean, you just look at the hearing I had in Gettysburg on the 25th of November. I mean, just where have you been? The only reason why I had that hearing 3 weeks after the election, because I'm hearing from thousands of people from across the state, and that's no exaggeration, Eric. Thousands of people reaching me with evidence of being defrauded, cheated personally, or they knew somebody. I'm like, well, put me in contact with that eyewitness so I can talk to them. And I'm watching nothing happening in Pennsylvania. People are telling us to move on. Media says nothing to see here. Our governor, Tom Wolf, Democrat, rated by Forbes as one of the most liberal in the nation. Nothing to see here. Perfect election like that's ever happened in Pennsylvania in modern times. And so we put together the hearing, had 13, only time for 13 witnesses, 3.5 hours, and it was very compelling. And since then, we've seen so much more evidence of fraud and suppression and what have you. So if Pennsylvania doesn't convince you, then look at the hearings in Michigan or Arizona and Georgia, and it's the same theme over and over. And, you know, this and the left, of course, you know, unsubstantiated claims. And I'll ask these lunatics on the left, well, have you done an investigation? Who have you spoken with to affirm your stance that this is unsustainable? And it's nobody. They just have these little talking points because they like the outcome. This is about our republic. As you told the president, that this is an essential fight here. And if we fail to uphold the rule of law and ensuring one vote per person counted, we're going to lose our republic. It's that serious.
Doug, I just hit pause on my clock. Look at the camera if you can, because it looks like you're looking at your screen or something like that. Okay. You know where your camera is,
yes,
right?
I do.
Do you? All right. No, just because it matters in the video a little bit, you know. So okay. Okay. So, Doug, how long have you been a state senator in Pennsylvania?
I was sworn in a year and a half ago.
Right. So you're new to this.
Yep.
And what's always interesting, it's like Mr. Smith goes to Washington. The newcomers are naive enough to think that things go the way they're supposed to go. And then they bump into something evil called corruption. When corruption exists in any form, it's evil. But when it exists in the United States of America, it's particularly evil because blood was shed so that we could have real freedom and real elections. So when you're getting these phone calls from your constituents and you're talking to literally hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people getting details, what did you think? In other words, when this occurred early in November, and of course now we're in January, what were you thinking? Did you think that once you showed the evidence on that day in Gettysburg that that people would finally get it, or were you afraid that they wouldn't be interested?
I didn't know, Eric, exactly what the fallout was going to be from Gettysburg, because this Tuesday before the hearing, the day before, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, I decided to hold this hearing together with Senator Dave Argo, whose committee is better service than mine to hold this sort of hearing. And he agreed within 90 seconds. God bless him. And he's been in politics, a couple of decades, but he saw the importance of this. So my vision was, Eric, let the people come forth and make their case and let the chips fall where they may. And then I sat there. You saw my expression on some of these, for instance, when Colonel Phil Waldron, retired Army colonel, a data analyst, came out, the numbers, 570,000 ballots, dropped just for Joe Biden, undercover of darkness without any Republican supervision of those ballots. The room gasped, and I was, my jaw about hit the floor. I'm like, how can this be in a republic? And so as I'm sitting there, Eric, and watching these discussions, and I went personal vignettes and accounts from individuals, one 82-year-old lady was there with her son and daughter, on Zoom. The son was actually in the room. And hey, I was excited to go vote for Donald Trump. And I went there and they told me I already voted by mail. I never even asked for an absentee ballot. And just case after case. And I was like, okay, this is enough evidence now that even radical papers in Philadelphia could understand they needed to start doing investigative journalism. But instead they come up with little adjectives, unsubstantiated claims. It's like, how do you know? Who did you talk to? Anybody? And so thank God there's alternative media outlets that have been, giving us a voice and the people a voice, and it gained momentum. And that moment of time in Gettysburg did change this conversation across the nation.
And of course, how interesting that it would be Gettysburg. It's funny because when I think of Lincoln's famous speech given at Gettysburg, he uses a number of phrases that have become part of the language. The phrase, a new birth of freedom,
yes,
that he talked about in Gettysburg, it strikes me that was prophetic and that he was in many ways the prophet. And when he said that, we didn't get that new birth of freedom when we kept the Union together, because we know that as a result of his assassination and what happened in the decades after, we really didn't get that. And it seems to me that this is an opportunity for Americans to see the depth of corruption, to see the horror of it, to where we finally would do something about this and we would regain our freedoms. That is at least my hope. How do you feel based on where we are today? We're taping this on Monday, the 4th of January. Where do you think we go from here? How do you think this can play out?
Yeah, so, like you, I'm all with the appeal to heaven. We have to continually call out to God, because we've been in this fight now, Eric, for over 2 months, and the courts refuse to hear anything because of whatever reason. They're loath to overturn. And it's not about overturning, though. It's about finding out what really happened and let the chips fall where they may. But at this point here, we're going to see what's going to happen on the 6th of January in Washington, D.C. with our U.S. senators and congressmen and congresswomen, disputing at least six states, as they rightly should. But where do we stand as a nation? We're calling out to God for divine intervention. I feel like my back is up against the Red Sea right now. We're waiting for something to happen, some revelation to come forth, part the waters and the truth to come forth.
Well, I guess one of the things that's the strangest about what's happening right now is how many people whom I would otherwise respect or take very seriously flat out don't see what we're seeing. And that's what fascinates me. I mean, there are a lot of people that they don't care. They see what they see and they don't care what the others see. I'm fascinated that there are people that don't seem to be troubled by the idea that we may be losing America, because I guess they don't believe that. They simply think it's another election. Shut up. Trump's vulgar. Let's move it along. I guess.
And I'm befuddled by that as well, because just to know good, educated men and women with a cognitive bias so severe that they can't even see with an open mind that we do have serious problems in the state. And I don't know if it's a matter of influence of what they're listening to or just because they like the outcome temporarily. But I would say, come, let us reason, as it says in Isaiah. Come, let's have a discussion here. For me, it's not that hard. Almost my entire adult life was in uniform. It's a bit ironic to me that one writer in Philadelphia Inquirer, basically Mastriano's leading a coup attempt against the same country I defended. Really? Seriously? As this, wealthy, overweight young journalist, I'm doing an ad hominem on him right now because I'm a little bit disgusted by his article. where's the evidence that I'd want to destroy the own country that I put my life on the line for? Any veteran would tell you that that's a disgusting approach to have. But because they disagree with our findings and assertions, instead of investigating and saying, hey, okay, let me interview some of your eyewitnesses to see if they're credible or not. Let me see their affidavits. They just run off in one direction. I don't know what you do, Eric, in the midst of that. You're an academic, you're an intellectual. How do you confront someone? How do you interact with somebody who doesn't want the truth?
I have to correct you. I'm a pseudo-intellectual, but thank you.
You're smarter than me.
Honestly, Douglas, what we're talking about is evil. When someone doesn't have an argument and they tell you, shut up, yeah. Or they say, I don't have an argument, therefore you're a racist, shut up, or you're a hypocrite, you are working to undermine democracy, that's just name calling. They have no argument. And so when you say, let us reason together, that's their worst nightmare, because if they were actually to reason, they wouldn't get the results they want. They already know that, yeah. And they have chosen this dark path. And to me, the deeper issue is whether we as a nation will countenance that kind of behavior. If we do, if we allow people to get away with this, billions around the world will suffer. This is not a small thing. It's not a mere election. This is crucial. We'll be right back, folks. I'm talking to Colonel Douglas Mastriano from Pennsylvania. Don't go away. Folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. This is a big, big week in the history of the United States of America. We're taping this today is Monday the 4th. I'm talking to State Senator from Pennsylvania, Douglas Mastriano. Douglas, you have a sense of history because you've written books on American history. I had you on this program a number of times to talk about your books on American history. What do you think will happen this week? You're going to be in D.C. What do you see happening or potentially happening?
All eyes are on the Congress, obviously, in Capitol Hill. And, I don't know what the outcome's going to be. I'm heartened that we have Senator Cruz and what about a dozen other U.S. senators, lined up to dispute the electors, and about 100 and some congressmen and congresswomen lined up. All I hope, Eric, just like you, from a historical sense, is that the truth prevails. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to be so easy because we have a side not interested in truth or facts, but advancing their politics over what's right for the Republic.
That's the issue, and that's what's so horrifying to me. How America works is not something that most folks of our age were taught in school. Nobody younger than us was really taught. And it was only in writing my book, If You Can Keep It, that I began to understand some of these things. And at that point, which is about 5 years ago, I was shocked because I said, if we have not been teaching these things, we will lose the Republic. When Franklin said, if you can keep it, he understood that it takes a lot to be free and to remain free. Freedom is not free. You have to do stuff to be free if you want to be free. And I think we've taken a fatal turn. And if we don't correct it now, it all goes away. What you just said about people who aren't interested in the truth, that's a big deal, to be saying that our fellow Americans aren't interested in the truth. There have always been evil people, but when you have a political class, including Republicans in leadership, who don't understand this as their duty, what do you make of all of the senators who have not decided to object? I mean, we have about 40 of them on the Republican side who don't seem interested in it. What do you make of Mitch McConnell? I mean, what do you think they're thinking is really my question.
I think they've been there too long, and I do question, and I do this personally. I question how serious they take their oath, because every time they win an election, they take an oath on the Bible to uphold the laws of the Constitution, just as I did about 8 or 9 times as a soldier in the United States Army and once as a senator, soon to be twice tomorrow. We're here to uphold the rights of the Republic and uphold the Constitution, as well as speaking for our people. And at Mitch McConnell, who only won his reelection, I do believe, because Donald Trump campaigned for him, for Mitch McConnell just come out and just say, hey, move on kind of thing, nothing to see here. That shows me that he's abandoned his post and he's not doing his due diligence. What is so wrong with giving us a week or two to do a statewide audit? We just need time in Pennsylvania and Michigan and Georgia, et cetera. And it's time we don't have. So disputing these votes and maybe coming up with a resolution in the House and Senate saying, we want our president, if it's Biden or Trump, so be it. We want them to come in, you know, with the trust of the people that the election was free and fair. What's wrong with saying we're going to mandate an audit in all six of the states that are in dispute?
How long would it take to do that?
I mean, I think with a federal mandate, maybe 10 days we could get something done in Pennsylvania, maybe 2 weeks, you know, all hands on deck.
And how would it work? In other words, on Wednesday, who would propose this, and how would that work if it were to work?
Yeah, so at the federal level, obviously you need something, you know, in the House or Senate. I think I heard Ted Cruz mention, maybe it was Mo Brooks, but one of those two mentioned something similar to this, said, hey, we need a pause, give us some time to look at the six states in question to see if it's legitimate and if those electors should count. And, you know, let the chips fall where they may. This, and if I'm going to say this slow and loud for the liberal legacy media, this is not about overturning any election. This is not about disenfranchising. It's about trying to find out what actually happened in Pennsylvania. There's enough questions in Pennsylvania and the other states that we should just take a pause for a couple minutes here or a week or so to say, okay, let's have a hard look at the elections here. Here's a federal mandate. States, we need to see an investigation and if these results are actual and real.
Well, listen, lying often works. Propaganda often works. And I think we're dealing with a party now that has said this has worked for us for a number of years. And the mainstream media are in bed with us on this, and they will help us spread what effectively is propaganda and lies. Because we think that there's a greater good here. And the greater good is getting rid of Trump and putting in our essentially increasingly socialist policies. My father always says that. He's 93 and lived through World War II, and he says propaganda works. In other words, if you lie brazenly enough, often enough, people are busy. They maybe don't have time, so they will eventually buy it. And I think that's what we're seeing right now. In other words, we're seeing a brazenness and a willingness to lie that we've never seen in our republic before. And it's very difficult for people to deal with. I simply think that's at the heart of it right now. Can we wake people up? Can we wake enough people up?
I think we can. I do believe that enough of us have been stirred to action. At least 75 million, maybe 80 million of us have been stirred to action, because we and I use feeling, you know, in this case, feeling is meant. We feel disenfranchised, and factually enough people have been disenfranchised, you know, in Pennsylvania and elsewhere, that something needs to be done. And on the other side, Eric, you have a very determined group of people who believe they're fighting, you know, for some noble cause, which just defies reason, because they should be able to win in a marketplace of ideas, not by lying, cheating, and stealing and cheating. But on our side here, I feel like Wile E. Coyote, you know, we're so self-righteous and think we're so smart, but the Democrats run circles around us, and we don't even realize that, you know, basically we're in this death match with the Democrat Party, and we're playing by all these, you know, Chatham House rules and what have you. And meanwhile, they're running circles around us. And I'm not saying anything we need to step out that's not constitutional, but we need to have a little more courage. Instead of shooting at each other, and I'm dealing with this in Pennsylvania, so I'm out there in my way.
Excuse me, Douglas, in the middle of that sentence, we're going to a hard break. Forgive me. I will let you complete that sentence and those thoughts when we come back. Hey there, folks. Welcome back. Douglas Mastriano, my guest. Douglas, forgive me. I lost track of the time in the previous segment. I had to cut you off right there. You were making an important point. Please continue.
So instead, in this fight of focusing on making sure that our people that vote us in to represent us and being their voice, let's focus on that in truth and integrity of the election, instead of going at each other. So, you know, I'm one of the people in Pennsylvania leading the charge for truth and justice, you know, making sure that every legal vote counted, making sure people were not disenfranchised, trying to find out the truth and get to the bottom of the issue, instead of having colleagues, you know, throwing me underneath the bus. And Eric, you know the deal. You know, it's one thing when you're getting attacked from without, but from, you know, from within the body, from within the church or within your own party, that's a whole different game here. So I feel like we're dealing with blue on blue and blue on red engagements, you know, using an Afghanistan analogy. So let's get a little courage. Instead of being mad at the people leading the fight, why don't you help out a little bit here and be the voice of the people?
Well, that's the thing. I actually think that the American way, the idea, there's always been a tension when you have a free country as we do between whether the elites make the rules or the common people make the rules. And I think that even though I disagree ultimately with the idea that the elites should make the rules, the point of view, why we have an electoral college, why we have a number of things in place is to say, listen, we have to be careful. If a vote is sacred, it's not something that you want everyone to take lightly. You want people to take it very, very seriously. And I actually think we've come to a place where the cultural elites, who are monolithically on the left, have determined that the people who voted for Donald Trump are unworthy of their votes. Their votes should be weighted as counting half or whatever that needs to be, because those votes aren't equal. I actually think that they simply believe that they can't say it, but I think that you hear it in some of their rhetoric that, you know, the smelly Walmart shoppers, they're idiots, and I'm not going to let them determine who my president is. I mean, we're sort of there, and I think it's why Trump evokes such emotion on both sides, because there are people like us who think everyone should have an equal vote, and there's some people who don't, and they're angry about it.
And I don't know where they get off thinking their vote should count more than mine or yours, for that matter. It's supposed to be one person, one vote. You know, it's a terrible place to be in a country where you have a group of people think they know better than the rest. You know, something similar happened in 1917. You know, Tsarist Russia is at collapse. I mean, that group of Bolsheviks thought they knew better than the Mensheviks knew. So where does it stop? And then, of course, when they ultimately get into power, we see the results of that. So that's terrifying. The voice of the people need to be reflected in this constitutional republic. And oh, the brilliance of our founding fathers. You know, in your book, if you can keep it, you really highlighted the brilliance of our founding fathers. And I am so desperate looking for modern day Benjamin Franklins and John Adams or Jeffersons out there. Where are they? Please, somebody rise up and tell us, how do we constitutionally get through this treacherous time?
Well, I have to say that, again, you know, writing that book, thanks for reading it and mentioning it. But I was astounded, as I usually am when I write books, about what I didn't know. And when you discover it, you think, this is extraordinary, because what the founders set up is so brilliant, so amazing, so unprecedented in world history, that we need to be unbelievably grateful for it. And we need to do everything we can to pass it along to our kids, to teach it, to spread it around the world. How wonderful it would be if the whole world could be like America, where people could be free, they could elect their leaders, they could unelect their corrupt leaders. That would be a wonderful thing. And we've lost sight of that clearly in this country. And I do think that that's part of this battle, is that we've allowed that to go on for so long that we're seeing people that just say, hey, this is just the way it is. We don't care. It's an ideological battle, Douglas, isn't it?
It is. And to think, Eric, you know, because your excellent book on that, you know, highlighted the role, especially Benjamin Franklin and some of the founders of Philadelphia. And I got it. We're a constitutional republic. And, you know, and to the republic for which it stands, we're not a democracy. But I'll forgive people when they say democracy. And listen to this. There was a man in November that held a sign in Philadelphia and says, you know, democracy dies in Philadelphia. Think about the irony of that. The place where the light of liberty was lit in 1776 for it to die because of corruption and cheating and lying.
Well, it is doubly ironic, because you have Independence Hall, which is still there. I mean, it's mind-blowing to think that it's there. You can visit it. You can go into the room and see the chairs where some of these figures sat. That's where they signed the Declaration of Independence. And then, of course, 11 years later, where they created and signed the Constitution. I mean, the idea that that happened in a city that is now overrun by a corrupt Democrat machine, that is ironic. And I think that, you know, if we're going to find our way out of this, part of it has to do with folks like you and me just talking about what our democracy means, how it works. And I think we also have to understand that people who don't believe in these values, they're not just un-American, they're anti-American. I mean, they have adopted values that are Marxist values, that don't believe in reason, that don't believe in the things that hold us together. And as you just said, you know, whatever, Chatham House rules, Marcus of Queensbury rules, you know, if you're dealing with people who are pulling guns on you, you have to react appropriately. And I'm not talking about through violence, but I'm saying that we have to understand what it is we're dealing with. This is not just a difference of opinion.
It is. And the nature of this political discourse has changed significantly, because in days gone by, I got it, there was always politically biased journalists and newspapers out there. I get it, but you knew. But when you have a group of media portraying themselves as open-minded and unbiased, but using very biased terminology and twisting facts, or fact-checking people like you and me online, we both have PhDs, and being, you know, fact-checked by who knows what 17-year-old kid in the basement because they don't like our point of view. This is the dangerous path that we're on.
Well, it is amazing, and it gets back to, we were saying this earlier, the name-calling. I mean, I am now routinely being called racist and whatever, and you think, wow, like, is that all you have? You can say a lot of things about me, but I've written two books effectively against racism. So what makes you think I changed my mind, you know, especially when most of the people that I despise are white? You know, like, it's kind of a weird thing that the name throwing, we've never, ever lived in a time when calling people names has become the public discourse. And, you know, we're all guilty of it to some extent, but I'm hopeful that this week in DC, there will be some reasoning and that God will answer the many prayers that have gone up. We'll keep you around for another segment. If you don't have to run, folks, it's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to State Senator from Pennsylvania, Colonel Douglas Mastriano. Don't go away. Talking to Douglas Mastriano. Douglas, you're going to be in D.C. this week. What do you see happening there? Are you going to be involved in marches, in events? I mean, I don't know how many people are going, but a lot of people are going.
Yeah, I am honestly expecting over a million. I've heard that all the planes are filled up. Most of the hotels are to capacity. Those that decided not to close, you know, foolishly. But it's going to start off apparently with a few events at the Capitol, some prayer time at the Capitol. But the president is supposed to speak near the ellipse at the White House, so we're between 11 and 12. So he'll be out there. The President Trump himself will be speaking to the people. Congressmen and women and senators will be up on the stage and be introduced to, as the fighters and warriors. And then we're going to march over to the Capitol and have some speaking engagements. I'm scheduled to speak at the Capitol. And then, of course, Freedom Plaza that afternoon and evening. I think the most important event of the day, an honor to have President Trump there, but actually there's a plan to revival service in the evening at Freedom Plaza. Obviously, interesting time to be doing it in darkness, you know, at nighttime when the left comes out and causes trouble. But I'm really praying that God will pour his spirit upon Washington, D.C. like we've never seen before. And when we're stepping out in faith, that people's hearts will be moved. And in the end, we just want the truth to prevail. Just like with you, we want the facts to fall where they may and the truth to prevail.
And of course, we have to inculcate in the next generation a respect for truth. I mean, how can you teach your kids that cheating is wrong, that lying is wrong, if you countenance this kind of thing? I mean, the level of cynicism, it's really so corrosive. It's going to destroy everything we have. And I'm amazed at those on our side who don't seem to have the courage to say, we cannot cheat. We cannot allow an election to go forward like this. It may look bad, or it might be inconvenient, but my goodness, how can we, you know, it's like building your house on a foundation of sand. It's not going to end well.
Yeah. So in the Pennsylvania Senate, there's a saying inscribed on a wall behind where the president pro tem sits. And it says, you know, let every man beware where he builds his house. Talking about, of course, that parable of Jesus, you know, building on the sand or on the rock. And as you rightly pointed out in your book, if you can keep it, John Adams said that Americans can either be guided by the Bible, by virtue, you talk about that in your book, or by the bayonet. And so can you self-regulate with morality and virtue and have a republic, or can't you? And John Adams, one of our founders, said you can't, it's going to collapse. So you're right, we have to get back to basics.
It's. I mean, I learned this all from Oz Guinness when I read a couple of his books. But in his book, A Free People's Suicide, he talks about the golden triangle of freedom, which I talk about in my book and in practically every speech I give these days. But about the link between virtue and freedom, and I never really understood it. In some ways, it's so basic, right? That to govern yourself means you have to govern yourself. We haven't taught that. We haven't taught about honor. We ought to, you know, we once upon a time had a culture of honor and shame where these things meant something, but now brazenly lying, being cynical. I mean, you'll notice that Joe Biden, he hasn't said boo. He hasn't, they've said nothing. They want to run out the clock. That's whatever the opposite of leadership is, that's what he's showing.
Yeah. I think if we go back to Joshua chapter 4, and, you know, us historians love that part of the Bible where as they cross the Jordan River into the Holy Land, God says, you know, each tribe grab a stone from the dry riverbed of Jordan and place it on the other side so that when you and your children pass by, you will remember what God did for you. So as you write these books on American history, such as If You Can Keep It, it's helping us get back to basics. Remember, Benjamin Franklin says, you only have a republic as long as you can keep it. So the burden is not now on us.
Amen. I love talking to you, Douglas Mastriano, my friend. I just want to say I'm glad you're going to be in D.C. this week. The Lord will use you, and his hand has been on this country, and we're just going to keep praying and fasting. Many of us are fasting and praying this week, and we're grateful for you and your voice. God bless you, my friend.
And I am for you as well. And God is looking for modern day Esthers and Gideons and Jehus, perhaps, to rise up. And it might be someone listening to this program here is going to stand in a gap for our nation just as others have before. Thank you. And God bless
you. Amen. Thank you.